You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. And today we have a game, finally. It's been 4 days now since they've played against the Phoenix Suns tonight at home. And to help me talk Suns, I got Gerald Bourget on the other line, the editor-in-chief of Hoops Habit and their lead Suns reporter. Gerald, how you doing, man?
Doing great, Tony. How about you?
You having a good year covering the 11-33 Phoenix Suns?
It's going about as great as their record sounds.
So when we upload these podcast episodes, we get like an autofill of previous episodes. And I was uploading yesterday's, and we put the date in the title. So I type in Locked On Pacers 1/14. And last year on 114, I uploaded a Suns preview with you. So,
oh wow,
yeah, we're one day off from last year with our posting this time. So the Suns are bad. The Suns are 11-33. They are 28th in offense and 27th in defense, according to B-Ball Ref. I don't know what the NBA.com actual possession counter has them at. Are they as bad as their record and ratings indicate, or are they like rounding into some form? I know they've had some good games recently. Or what's the deal with the Suns right now? What are they feeling out?
Right. I mean, I think with a fully healthy Devin Booker, they wouldn't be as bad as the numbers, the records, the offensive, defensive ratings indicate. He's missed a lot of time. He's been banged up for most of the year. When he has played, he has this annoying tendency to play through injury, which I totally get because the team is usually completely helpless without him. But, you know, that's led to some less than stellar performances early in the year. He was really coming on strong there as a playmaker. The team was kind of rounding into form. They had won 5 of 7 games at one point. And then, of course, you know, he has a back injury now that he might play in the Pacers game. We're still waiting to hear officially. But the Suns are slightly better. And over the last 3 games without Booker, they've been super stingy defensively. I think they're 2nd in defensive rating in that span. Obviously, small sample size. But to answer your question, they could be better if they were fully healthy. But there are just too many different moving parts and dysfunction for them to be a decent team right now.
I saw their stinginess yesterday. We were previewing the week and we were talking about the Suns, and I was like, oh, there's no way that if Devin Booker doesn't play, since he's hurt, that the Pacers are going to lose. And then I look and they just beat the Nuggets without him. I was like, wait, what? How does that happen?
Right.
So yeah, I guess you never really know with this team. I did see they won 4 in a row in the middle of December. So maybe if they round into form, stuff will happen. This is not really related to this game, but Devin Booker is at 25-7. 7 assists per game. How come he's not getting any All-Star buzz? I know he's played over 30 games, and that's like, he's not shooting great, but like that's pretty good to not be getting like any buzz at all.
Right. I mean, outside of Phoenix, he's getting no buzz, and it's unfortunate because this is when he's been healthy. This has been his best season yet. I think the problem is just with the amount of talent in the West, the fact that he has missed like double-digit games now. And then, of course, the fact that the Suns are just the only team in the West that's not even close to the playoffs doesn't help his case at all. It'll happen for him eventually, but the Suns just have to be better for him to deserve it over some of the other guys out West.
Yeah, you just said that they're miserable standing in the Western Conference where all these teams are good. You're around the team more than me, and I kind of asked you this beforehand, so I'll phrase it a little differently now. I know the team has to be a little deflated to be the only bad team in the conference. Do you just get this vibe that they're frustrated that literally every team in the West, you know, could in theory make the playoffs? And then there's the Suns. Like, there are graphics where they show the Western Conference standings and it's 14 teams.
Yep. It's, I think that it comes in from time to time. There are nights when they're just down by 20 in the second quarter and it's like, okay, this is a demoralized young team that doesn't know how to win, and they don't know how to change their situation. They have a first-year head coach. Their star player is either hurt or banged up. You know, they've got 2 rookies in the starting lineup, for crying out loud. Like, their point guard is a second-round rookie who they traded for. Like, it's not – they're not being put in positions to succeed, and it's really is like a trial by fire. And I think they're staying optimistic despite all that. But for a lot of these guys, this is a – kind of a culture shock, because you look at guys like Josh Jackson, especially Mikal Bridges, like these are guys, Devin Booker, these are guys that were all used to winning constantly in college. So to come into the NBA and have your stuff handed to you on a night-to-night basis while trying to learn, trying to compete, trying to take the next step forward with a bunch of other young guys, it can definitely be frustrating. I think they're optimistic given their situation and the fact that, you know, every veteran they brought in here has kind of disappointed other than Jamal Crawford of all people. But, you know, they're doing their best to kind of chug through it, and hopefully it makes them better in the long run.
Yeah, you said something that applies to me for this game that I'm looking at. You said they start two rookies, and you know, the point guard thing with another rookie there. Don't they start three rookies? Am I crazy? Melton and Bridges and Dayton.
They do. Yeah. Besides the number one overall pick, they're starting three rookies.
That is insane.
Yeah.
So is the I just tried to say a sentence and then didn't know how to phrase it, so I said the four times. Is the real story that they don't actually want a point guard, or do they actually want a point guard and they're just being too stingy? Because Austin Rivers is like better than D'Anthony Melton right now. Like, he just is.
I mean, I think Rivers, I mean, there was mutual disinterest on both sides with that trade.
Understood.
I mean, that you can understand why Rivers didn't want to play for the Suns, and you can also understand why the Suns didn't want Rivers. Like, he's not a traditional point guard. He's kind of that combo guard mix. You know, Devin Booker handles most of the point guard duties on the offensive end. So what they really need is a point guard who can facilitate if he's called to, defend in the backcourt multiple positions, because Devin Booker, as we know, is not great on that end. And, you know, knock down open threes and just kind of do all the little stuff that Devin Booker can't do in the backcourt. So I think, I mean, they should have traded for a point guard. I think they should have. But it's also encouraging to see the signs of progress from Melton, especially defensively. And even on the offensive end, he's looking like a guy. He's not going to blow you away on the stat sheet, but he does the little things that this team needs out of that spot. So hopefully for the future, I mean, right now it's looking like a steal for that Marquise Chris trade.
Yeah, I agree.
With the Rockets.
Ryan Anderson too. It's a shame he helped you win.
I mean, the one thing they needed him to do was make threes. And
he has not.
Really bad on that front. It was really disappointing that him and Trevor Ariza were so bad in their time here, that one had to be jettisoned and the other one has basically been inactive for like a month now. But yeah, I think the Suns, they should have traded for a point guard. They still probably need an upgrade at point guard if their plan is to start winning next year. But I don't think they're going to handle that or address it until like free agency at this point.
Yeah, Corey Joseph's going to be a free agent, and I figured he'd be a guy they would go for, just considering, like you said, he can defend and facilitate when needed. But let's focus, speaking of Corey Joseph, on this specific game. You said they start three rookies. I look at their defensive rating, and it kind of indicates to me that they start three rookies.
Yep.
and I know Bridges has actually been pretty good on the defensive end, so I feel like for the Pacers, just do whatever you can to get Ayton in pick and roll seems like the strategy. Just keep Bridges away from the play. Is that how most teams go at the Suns? Is that how the Pacers can have some success beating this team? Because I don't remember Bridges playing all that much when they played in Phoenix earlier this year.
Right. I mean, definitely. Bridges kind of worked his way into the starting lineup after a while. And he's been excellent defensively. Melton's been very good. You know, the whole team, they're still prone to kind of those young guy lapses on the defensive end. But, I mean, for the most part, Melton and Bridges are already two of the Suns' best, like, three defenders, which isn't saying much, obviously. But
is it good, I think?
Yeah, but, I mean, Ayton shows flashes sometimes. Like, on-ball defense isn't his problem as much. He struggles with, like, the help side rotations,
yep.
Things of that nature, just flat-out, like, brain farts. Where it seems like he's not engaged or not focused or just not even aware of what he needs to be doing defensively. When he's locked in, like there was an overtime game against the Magic that the Suns won on the road, where he was just locked in for those 5 minutes. And I think he even blocked or challenged the last shot to seal the win for Phoenix. But like he'll have flashes, but yes, you definitely want to put him in pick and rolls. The Hornets did that to the Suns down the stretch in a game recently where Kemba scored like 14 points in the last 4 minutes. They just went at him again and again in pick and roll. So that's what you want to do. You also want to make Devin Booker and TJ Warren work, since they're not very good defenders either. But the Suns have some fun lineups now where they throw in Josh Jackson and Kelly Oubre alongside Bridges, and that's a pretty switchy fun little defensive group from time to time.
Yeah, the last time these two teams played, the Suns only played eight guys, which was so so strange. Jamal Crawford, Rashawn Holmes, and Josh Jackson were the only bench players. And Ariza started, and Booker was the starting point. So I feel like the Suns have just like morphed their entire rotation and team since then. It was so crazy. By the way, the Suns, their plus minuses in that game ranged from +7 to TJ Warren all the way down to -5 for Mikal Bridges, and then Ariza was somehow -20. It's like, what combo of players were you out there with to make that happen? But yeah, I was impressed with Ayton on offense in that game. He had 18 and 12. He did some good stuff and made got like Turner and Sabonis work. But I just feel like Sabonis is just gonna make him defend a pick and roll every time, and nothing's gonna work. And on the contrary, all the while, Oladipo can just take Devin Booker to the hole whenever he wants, even without a screen. So I don't worry as much about the Suns' defense being a problem for the Pacers as much as if they have offensive players who are just like professional scorers. You know, I know TJ Warren is known for that title. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Booker can score. Ayton can score. Jamal Crawford can score. Like, there is a way where the Suns get hot and win, and I feel like that is what the Pacers have to be scared of.
Right. I mean, I think it's one of those things where if you don't take them seriously, especially with the way they've been playing defensively lately, like they can come in and have a good night and actually compete. Those nights have been few and far between compared to the overwhelming example. But like even Devin Booker has improved his defense this year. He's still not a good defender, but like they're trying on that end. So I think if you come into it with the right mindset, like the Suns struggle with smart, confident teams. Like if you come into Phoenix or if you come into your own arena playing the Suns team and you execute, like you're gonna eventually pull away from them at some point. But you know, if you just kind of go through the motions expecting the win, looking at their record, that's when they can kind of jump out. And I think that's what happened against Denver the other night.
That's how the Pacers lost to the Cavs. They had like a back-to-back and the Cavs were the front end and they did not take it seriously and they lost. So right. I hope that does not happen again. Yeah, I get that with Booker. I think with him, it was all about just like he never had to guard anyone at Kentucky, and then he finally had to play defense and learn the speed of the game and stuff like that. It's always slow. And this is a brutal road trip for the Suns.
Right.
Pacers, Raptors, Timberwolves, and Charlotte in 6 days. That's crazy.
It's not great. And that's the thing is like we keep saying everyone out here in Phoenix is like, wow, when does the schedule let up? Well, it doesn't.
Because you're the Suns.
The Western Conference has 14 teams that could be a playoff team this year. It doesn't let up. It's kind of rough because everyone out here was expecting them to have the kind of season that the Sacramento Kings are having now. Like the fun, young, fast-paced team that surprises people. They're hovering around that like 500 territory. Might not be a playoff team, but they're still in the hunt. Like that's what people thought out here, at least, Phoenix might be with Ariza brought on board. But that just went straight downhill, and now they're just kind of praying for Zion.
Well, I've only watched, I think, 3 Suns games this whole year because they're not super exciting. But my personal theory on that the Kings-Suns thing is, like, to be even at Kings level of good, just like 500 middling, you know, 14th in the West is the Grizzlies right now, who are 19-23. That's like 500-ish, you know. You have to have a good point guard, right? Like that is the most important position to have a competent team on the floor at all times. And I'll look at that. De'Aaron Fox goes from bad to good, and the Kings go from bad to good. Mm-hmm. So to me, the Suns, it's like, were they fooling themselves thinking that Eli Okobo and De'Anthony Melton, who obviously one day will be good players, like everybody was super high on those guys and getting them in the second round is great. Mm-hmm. But like this year, like I don't know how you could have psyched yourself into that being the answer to a good team, but that I'm not like as plugged in as you to know, but that's just my 2 cents on like.
No, I mean, it was the one thing. It was the one thing everyone out here was questioning, like, okay, the season's almost here. Why is there no point guard? Like the one point guard they had, Brandon Knight, shouldn't have been their de facto point guard going into the season. And then they traded him away. And then they fired the general manager like 9 days before the season started because the preseason was so
bad. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, what are we doing here?
That's crazy. Kelly Oubre. So I actually, when I was a kid, I was a big Wizards fan. Isn't that crazy? So Kelly Oubre was a guy I kept my eye on for a while. And now he's on the Suns. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's a much better player not on the Wizards because I think he has 2 26-point games already and just got like 13 rebounds or something. Is it like a role thing? Why has he been able to be so much better in Phoenix than he was for the Wizards? And I, you know, him and Lance Stephenson used to have nice jaw fights every time the Pacers would play the Wizards. Now Lance is gone, but still, like, Oubre has good games against the Pacers. What is making him be so good for the Suns team?
I honestly think it's partly because of Igor Kokoskov's system. I mean, I don't want to speculate too much on the Wizards, but getting out of that kind of situation.
Touche.
It, like, not that the Suns are some ideal situation for player development, but, like, just when you're in a bad situation, any change of scenery, any chance to compete for minutes off the bench with a young group, like, that's going to help your confidence, your flow, all of that stuff. And it's definitely helped him out. You know, he's said that he enjoys playing with this young group of guys that are all, you know, a similar situation to him or where he's been a couple years ago. And I think he's just getting he's being put in positions to succeed, coming off the bench, playing with someone like Josh Jackson, who's also, kind of defensive minded like that. But yeah, he's tied his career high twice in the last three games. So he's definitely building himself quite a fan base out here.
Good for him, man. That's good. I like Kelly Oubre. And you're probably going to get him for like nothing because no one's going to pay a bunch of money for this dude. So that's exciting. So how do the Suns win this game? What is the way the Suns find a way to win on the road in Indy?
Devin Booker returns, and it's funny, whenever he returns and he says he's fully healthy, he usually goes off for like 30 and 7 or 8 or something like that. So Devin Booker comes back, has a big night. You know, Ayton holds his own against Sabonis defensively, which is a major stretch. and the team's newfound kind of defensive identity doesn't go away, because I hate to say it, but like over the last three games with Devin Booker out, there was a notable difference with Josh Jackson in the starting lineup and then Oubre coming off the bench. And like Rashawn Holmes has been great defensively for the Suns. He's had a fantastic year, kind of a perfect fit off the bench behind Ayton. So like that whole identity needs to stay intact, and the Pacers need to kind of just go through the motions this game.
Yeah, the Cavs make me think that is certainly not their own possibility. I'm a big Rashawn Holmes guy. I'm glad he's doing stuff. I think Booker's going to play. I don't remember who I saw it from. Does someone with the last name King cover the Suns beat?
Dave King? Yeah, I think Bob Young of The Athletic.
That's who it was. Young. Bob Young.
Yeah.
He said he's going to play, but I'm not sure.
Right. He did say that Kokoskov said he would play and there would be no minutes restriction, but then like the Suns' official PR report still has him listed as so
right.
I think he's gonna play, but it's just weird that they keep listing him as questionable.
That is odd.
So
all right, last question, unrelated to this game. Is Dragon Bender ever gonna play on a team after the season?
He'll play. Someone will scoop him up for like a minimum contract or something like that, but yeah, it's not gonna be Phoenix. Quincy Acey, who's here on a 10-day contract, is getting minutes over him right now. So
he's 100 minutes this season. That's crazy low.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because his rookie season, he missed like half the year due to injury. And then last year, the team was just kind of a dumpster fire. And this year, like, he's just never really gotten a chance. But he was so bad in the preseason and summer league, it's hard to fault them too much for that.
I understand that. And I remember last year he had like this weird stretch where he was hitting two-pointers really well. And then that I wrote about it for MDA Math, actually, and then that just stopped happening for him.
Usually how it works with this team.
Good stuff just stops happening, yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know what to think of Dragon Bender anymore, but it's very low. That was the worst draft ever, unfortunately, for you guys.
Indeed.
The Pacers just played the Knicks, and it was Croatian Heritage Night, and Bojan got a big welcome from the fans. I wonder if the Knicks will do something for Bender with Hezonja there.
Oh, man, I don't even know if people know that he's on the roster anymore.
Touche. I mean, Bojan's clearly the best Croatian NBA player.
Yeah.
Anyway, to go back to your assessment of the game, I agree. If the Pacers just, like, give a damn, they'll win.
They're such a cohesive and, like, well-rounded team now that's the exact kind of team that the Suns struggle with when they're not playing at their absolute best, which they have to be to win on a nightly basis.
You just made me think of an idea that I can't believe I haven't been doing all season. When I have a guest on for the other team to ask them, what do you think of the Pacers this year?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been very impressed with them. And I was actually, Miles Turner, it seemed like he was putting together a nice little stretch before his injury. What was it, shoulder?
T he broke his nose and hurt his shoulder on the same play.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But it seemed like he was racking up blocks and, you know, not putting up a ton of points, but like him and Sabonis were kind of that nice 1-2 punch at that center spot. And then Bojan's been having a great year. Oladipo's numbers aren't as high, but like with the depth that they have, it just seems like it's a very well-rounded kind of team that's embracing that overlooked mentality, because they are overlooked in the Eastern picture still somehow.
Yeah, third. They've been a top five record in the NBA for half the year, and people still say the top four in the East.
Yeah, and they have like the second best or third best defensive rating, don't they?
It was second, and then the Celtics put up 135 on them, and it dropped.
Oh, yeah.
and then they played pretty good D against the Knicks, and I think they're back in second. But they're hovering right around, conveniently, the Celtics were third. So,
right.
The Thunder are uncatchable. The Thunder D is so good. But
they don't even have Andre Roberson.
Yeah, I have my questions on if he'll actually help that much at that point. But anyway, yeah, they've been right around the top three all year, and that's their bread and butter, is they just don't allow points. So if they can do that again, I don't think they'll have a problem with the Suns.
Probably not.
All right, where can people follow you and all your stuff and all the people you edit, including me in the past? Best editor I ever had sent me video clips on all the things that I should have changed. It was awesome. So where can people follow you and your stuff?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Let's see, you can find all of our work on hoopshabit.com, and then you can follow me on Twitter at GERALDBOURGUET.
You should do that to get A, Suns coverage, and B, he posts all the good stuff from Hoops Habit right there for you to read. Gerald, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Should be a good game, everybody. Get ready for tonight. If it is a good or eventful game, I'll post a pod for tomorrow. If not, we'll do one before the Sixers game, and Adam will have two this weekend. Thank you guys for listening, and have a great rest of your day.